Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy!
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry,
who's
come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Anna.
The Rand McCoy.
Hurry, come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, ooh, come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show.
Anna. The Rand McCoy.
All right, we want to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio today. This is your host, Shauna Stallworth, standing in for Coach Anna McCoy, the host for The Real McCoy Show on Blog Talk Radio. We want to encourage you to visit our website at www.womanactnow.com. Get information on Coach Anna's new book and order that, Woman Act Now, Learn, Launch, and Live Your Dream. We're going to have a pre-recorded show on today, but if you're listening to us and you'd like to call in, you feel free to do so, or you can send us your questions on chat, and we'll do our best to get those responses to you. We want to thank you for listening today, and come back and join us next Thursday, where your host, Coach Anna McCoy, will be here talking to you live on The Real McCoy Show with Blog Talk Radio. And now, here's your host, Anna McCoy.
The time is now. If you were to ask any person about Anna McCoy, they will speak to you and say that she is a woman of now. One of the most important principles I can leave you with today is the principle of now. Most of us don't understand now. We use the word often, but we really just don't understand. We don't have a construct for the word now. I want to leave this with you. You're going to have to take a lot of notes. I brought my Bible up here for show to let y'all know I was a believer, to let you know that I love the Word of God. But I had several preachers before me. I am an ordained minister. I have a unique way of preaching the Word of God, ministering the Word of God. I cannot remember Scripture. I read the word, okay? Can we get that straight? And since all my sisters have come before me and have poured out the word upon you, I want you to understand is that the way I live my life is so full of integrity and character and love that you're going to hear that in the principles that I share with you. Now, first things first, let me explain the word now, because if we can all get on the same page, we're talking about unfolding the revelation that as you begin to unfold your dream, I want you to be a woman who will act in her now. That before you can do that, you've got to understand now. My mentors, Al and Hattie Hollingsworth, and Cheryl is here, we share the same mentor, but they taught us this one thing. The power of now. Now is the amount of time. See, your life is all about time. And it was given for you to be able to measure your productivity in life. So now, if we can, now listen carefully, if we can define the word now for you and put a construct around that word, I believe we're going to help you begin your process of executing on your dream. So the word now means the amount of time that you can hold a conscious thought before it becomes a past memory. Now you have to understand, let me say it again because y'all know y'all didn't get that. I was going too fast. Now is the amount of time that you can hold a conscious thought before it becomes a past memory. Now, the reason why that's so important is because the way the brain thinks, first of all, you've got to understand that you are wonderfully and beautifully, and boy, I mean, you are just constructed in a way that you don't even understand. That capacity for your thinking and for your dreaming and for your imagining is far beyond what you believe. I want to dispel some presuppositions today, and those are things that we hold very dear to us, that we make our decisions. They become the filters in which we begin to see life. So I want to dispel one of them. One of them is God really respects different people. Okay, that's a presupposition. What that says is if she can have it, that means I can have it. If she's beautiful, that means I'm not beautiful. But I'm here to tell you today is that God created you from the foundation of the world to do exactly what he's created you to do. I want to dispel this myth that you can't have it. I want to dispel the myth that you're not smart enough, that you're too young, that you're too old to birth your dream. See, when God created us, he created us all for productivity. In Genesis 1:26, I remember that from last night. No, I'm just using it. I do know some scripture. But when he created male and female, he created us, he says, be fruitful and multiply. And so when we go forth, as we begin to read and study the Word of God, we see over and over about production. Pastor Clarissa was talking about sowing the seed. When the farmer came to sow the seed, the one last part of that is when he came and he sowed the seed on good ground. The Word of God says that he accepted it and produced. He what? Accepted it and produce. So let me go back to the power of acting in your now. Now is the amount of time that you can hold a conscious thought before it becomes a past memory. Now let me add some time to now. Now is 0 to 2 to 5 seconds. See, women, I want you to become conscious about your destiny, about your purpose, about your decisions, about your choices that you make in life. After today, no longer will you be a reactive woman that is just responding to things, thinking that you don't have the ability to stop it and make a choice. To stop it and make a choice. When Pastor Phil said, she says, she's talking, you know, no, I'm afraid. Stop it. You know what she was doing? She said, wait a minute, baby, come conscious here. Don't you know the God that you serve? He says, wait a minute, you have to wake up and become conscious. When we use that word consciousness, we're saying, you know what, it's time for you to stop sleeping, ladies. See, what? Let me tell you what sleep looks like. Sleep looks like I don't care, I don't want to think about it, I'm too tired. And I'm saying, we're going to wake up. Because if you want to birth that dream and that vision that's really in your heart, you need to be a very conscious woman to do so. Because every now creates a new now. Every moment creates a new now. Every opportunity is a new now. So I said, let me add some time to now. Because, see, we're living in time. And I told you that time is just a measurement of your productivity. It is there so that you can begin to plan, to orchestrate and to do certain things, and it just becomes a measurement for you to be productive. So now when we talk about now is every 0 to 2 to 5 seconds, 0 to 2 to 5 seconds, the Bible says in Hebrews 1, now faith is. What is it? Now faith is, 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 every 0 to 2 to 5 seconds. Because when you are a woman who will live in your now, you will begin to see that every now, every 0 to 2 to 5 seconds, that God is a God of now, because now is what? Faith. So now when you begin to move in your now, you begin to create a path. Every 0 to 2 to 5 seconds. And that's why it's so important that you understand that now is the amount of time, 0 to 2 to 5 seconds, that you can hold a conscious thought because you serve a now God and be able to hold that thought, make a decision before it becomes a past memory. Now, you know what the memory story is, don't you? It's the subconscious mind. The subconscious is always at war with the conscious mind. See, the Spirit of God lives in the consciousness, and the flesh lives in the subconscious. So do you understand? You don't have an excuse to go unconscious anymore. You think, oh, well, I said, oh, well, wake up. Because you don't have time to be unconscious. See, the economy is changing around us. And this is the best time that you can begin to birth your dreams. This is the best opportunity that you can begin to identify problems in the marketplace and begin to solve it. That's what we entrepreneurs do. We determine there's a problem over here, and you know what? I'm a big dreamer, and I solve big problems. What is that problem I see? Stop moaning and groaning, but start listening to the moans and groans of other people, and then say, you know what? I can do something about that. And that's where your treasure will lie. So when we talk about being women of now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What need do you have to hope for things that you can see? See, when people tell me, I hope for this and it's here already, then I know that you're a wisher. What you're saying to me is that I wish I could have that, but I don't want to put forth any effort to get it. So I wish I could have a better job, but then go out there and get you a better job. Guess what? Between the wishing of having a better job and the result of getting a better job is taking a few steps right in between the gap. And we call that the execution gap, the valley of execution. See, your goals and objectives, when you meet them, they're at the mountaintop. But anytime you have to go through that, that's the gap, the gap or the valley of execution. You have to understand that in order to get from one peak to the next, you've got to learn how to press your way through. You have to learn how to push. And I call it lean into it. If you learn how to lean into it, ladies, see, I'm a lean into it kind of girl. You know, you came in. I ain't standing up there waiting for you to tell me what to do. I'm already into it. See, I live a life where I lean into the opportunity. I'm constantly alert and watching and waiting to see what opportunity is going to present itself to me. So I've learned how to what? Lean into it. Because guess what? If I'm in the position of leaning, I don't need much to get me through it. See, but most of y'all, you know that dead weight? I have two dogs, Ricky and Tommy. I love my dogs, like my little boys. I don't have children, so I am one of them mommies. My baby's daddy is a Bichon Frise. But I am one of those women who love my dogs. It took me 8 years to get those dogs. I've been trying to have children. The Lord didn't give me children, but it took me 8 years to get them dogs, too. And so when I finally got them dogs, let me tell y'all something. I'm going to love my boys. But let me tell you, the dogs also helped me to love my husband even more. I can't get to talking about it because I could lose focus. Look, I think my breathing has changed. My imagination is about to run wild. I love my husband. Let me tell you, I love this man. If this ladies, if you didn't hear anything, you should have heard we love our friends. He is my coach. He is my mentor. You know what? I really believe he just lives so I can, you know, just become who I'm supposed to become. Now, I do a lot for the brother. Don't get me wrong. However, his passion to see me be the best that I can be in life is just, it's not describable. So I love this man. But let me get back to Ricky and Tommy. They just made me think about their daddy. Because, you know, when I had to explain to y'all, they were my dogs, but y'all be like, oh, you got two sons? Girl, no, I got two dogs. I'm talking, I have one daughter, Daryl, she's 21, but you don't talk about them when they get old. You know, she in college, she's trying to get her out of there. However, let me go back to Tommy and Ricky. I was talking about that dead weight. I said, can't you help me, Tommy? Can't you? Nothing. Because some of you are like that with your dreams. We can't get to the moon. You have come totally immobilized in birthing your dreams. When somebody mentioned it, you just turned a dead weight. You're not in that ready and alert position. But in order to get there, ladies, we got some work to do today. So I'm going to talk to you about execution. Now, my book's coming out, Woman Act Now. You might have gotten your little, your flyer. Woman Act Now is also an organization. You'll see that information on the back. But my passion in life and my purpose in life is to encourage other people to be the very best that they can be. Everything I've done over the last 20 years since I've gotten out of my mother's home has been encouraging people. I've been standing before audiences. I've been, you know, in this group and that group and trying to get women to see their dreams, trying to get them to do their thing. And the Lord gave me this organization, Woman Act Now, unlike any that you will ever experience, I think, in your life. Primarily, the difference is accountability. Some of you ladies, you like to talk. Have you seen the commercial, Stop Talking and Start Doing? Okay, this is the epitome of what Woman Act Now is about. We have created systems by which I can communicate. I have women in 12 different states now. I communicate to them about their dream and their vision through video email, through video conferences. Because you know what? I want to look at you when I'm talking to you so I can see what your eyes are saying when your mouth is speaking another word. I'll be like, now, come on. I'll ask a question, and when those eyes are going, well, I see. Stop right there, because I'm going to get somebody today, and I'm going to show you, you're going to be, well, I better not set you up because nobody will volunteer, but I'm going to get you, you're out there, and you're going to show us what you've been doing as it relates to that dream. I did a radio interview yesterday, and the question was, what do I do when I don't have any money? I said, what have you done without money? Let it move across the audience. What have you done for your dream without money? Pastor Clarissa say, hey, I was moving. I was putting everything in place. I was getting all my pieces together without money. But what have you done with your dream without money? So money is never your issue, ladies. So let me get that one out the way. That's just your excuse for not doing what you're supposed to do. So when we talk about execution, it really is the art of getting things done. When you buy the book and when you receive it, I'm telling you, your life is going to be changed. And it's just not, listen, first of all, let me explain something to you. When I say I'm not really a writer, I am now. Okay? This is my second book. The first book I wrote is called Building Generational Wealth, the action book. It's all about action, okay? It's about you getting your finances, taking personal responsibility. I can talk on that matter very well. This particular book, or the first book I wrote, the Lord told my husband, you know, she needs to write a book. We were in Dallas, Texas, preparing for a financial event, and he said, you need to go home. The Lord says, you need to go home. All of your team is going to stay here. You go home for 2 weeks. You need to write this book. I'm thinking, what book? First of all, my credit is toe up and jacked up from the flow up, and I ain't got nothing to say to nobody anyhow. And we had only been married for a few years by then, about 4 years. I was working on it, ladies. When we first got married, you know, we married on May 16th, May 28th, we closed on our first home. My husband, he is he was a very eligible bachelor. I was a very poor girl. But you can marry money. Can marry good credit too. Now see, what he didn't ask me, fellas, if you're listening, ladies, ask that person, what is your credit score? And as a matter of fact, they say they don't know, walk them to the computer, go to Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, say, baby, let's find out before I get my emotions too deeply involved with you. Before I sit up and go to the office and say, I do, to 20 closing table. You know, we were getting ready to buy that house. You know what I told him? He asked him, I said, yeah, I said, you don't want that. And then he says, I said, trust me, you don't want to put my name on this. My credit score at the time I got married, I believe, was a 525 or something. What's some silly stuff? Things I did in college, silly stuff. You know what we all got on our credit score? Just silly stuff. But my husband is a man of his word. He is so serious about paying his bills, having stellar credit. We would not have been able to start the company we started in 1998 on my name. Okay? Because your credit score shows your integrity. Now, I think I'm pretty integral, but don't be trying to connect to my credit score. I don't see the connection. I see the connection today. It's 10 years later. So we had a recent situation. We had some investment property, and we needed to refinance that property. And my husband, he was so proud. He calls up the banker. He says, oh, yeah, and I knew this. I make this kind of money. And you know, give out his information. And he called him back and says, boy, we have a problem. This is Denver. We have a But he says, we have a problem. He said, well, what problem? He says, you have not been approved. He says, what? Now, he is, when I tell you, he is just crazy about his credit. I mean, he got me on light lock. He got me on, you know, credit alerts, all kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And so he's just so serious about it. And I said, okay. So we had to come to me. I said, yes, how can I help you? He comes to me and he says, well, friend, I think we need to put your name on it. I said, what do you need my help for? Well, they said I wasn't approved. I said, well, what's your credit score? And he says, 671. I said, oh, yeah, I wouldn't approve you either. And so he asked me, well, what's yours? I said, well, I think I got about 714 right now. You know, I had a couple of things I did, but I got about 714. You need my help? So now, you know, the tables turn, and let me tell you something, just to walk away with this, what made his credit score take a dive, like 50, 60 points, because just about a month before it was 738, okay, and it's always in the 700s, but my husband, after 10 years, still didn't trust me paying the bill. Okay, now I've been paying the bills for 10 years, and maybe you'll see this, you know, my hand on my hip, looking in the camera. And he just didn't get it. So he decided he would take off on himself, and he picked up this one particular bill. And I said, honey, you keep coming in here, you take these bills, you put them in your thing, your bag. I hate bags. I hate carrying a purse. I don't even carry a purse because I'm afraid I might leave some mail in there. And miss paying a bill. That's how paranoid he's got me. Okay? But he took this bill, put it in his briefcase for 2 months. Guess how much the bill was? $99. Trust me, we have $99. And he didn't pay it. And then by the time it hit the credit report, it was already getting ready to go to a 60 day. Okay? So he took a nosedive. And I quietly reminded him, like a nice wife would. I walked out of my office over to him and I said, honey, I distinctly remember. Because he was ready to jump on me, y'all, because I was paying the bills. But I just quietly, very humbly. And I didn't want to say it. And I didn't say it. I just went over there and said, honey, I do recall, I think this one's on you. Because I recall you taking that bill. And boy, you should have seen his face. I didn't have to tell him. And he's still suffering today. And that was just a few weeks ago. But he's still suffering with the pain of making that mistake. And the difference is, pay your bills on time. Because 35% of your credit score is based on you paying that bill on time. So that was just a little side note for you ladies. Because you can't birth a dream with bad credit. Unless you've got a ram in the bush who's got some good credit.
but that doesn't happen often. So let's talk about execution. One of the principles we share with women, and that's also in the book, is 15 minutes to destiny. Let me tell you something about your destiny. Your destiny will not happen on accident. Some of us think we're just going to fall into it. None of us fell into this opportunity today. Do you understand that? I didn't just fall in and just happen to be here. There were a series of events that occurred, a series of decisions that were made that actually got me here. In order for me to be here, I was asked to come, and I had to receive to come. I had to make a decision that this was the place I was supposed to be. So some of you are making some very critical decisions about your destiny that is detrimental to your destiny. See, that's the only thing that's going to get you there, is being able to make the right decision at the right time. So one of the things you need to embrace is that you must become a conscious woman so that you can make the appropriate decisions at the right time while you're conscious. Not while you're asleep, not while you're tired, not while you've had too much, not while you've done too much for other people. Because, see, all of those thoughts and ideas are coming from your subconscious. And remember, I told you the subconscious is always at war with the conscious mind. And, see, when it's time to make a critical decision about your destiny, it will come in your conscious awareness. How many of you would say, you know, I knew that, or I heard, you know, I was sitting here and I just saw that, or I heard it in my spirit, do this right now? But yet you wait, you delay, and what you've done is delayed and derailed your destiny. So women, become women who will become women who will make right choices at the right time. Okay, so that 15 minutes to destiny, I had to just set you up for that. 15 minutes to destiny is saying, all you have is time. What are you going to do with your time? How many of you have a real dream in here, a vision? Y'all scared to raise your hand now. You're scared I might call you. Let me see the hands again so I can get a good picture. And I can see all the way in the back, even the people sitting under the clock. I can see everybody. I've got great eyesight. So if you have a dream or a vision now, how many of you on yesterday spent 15 minutes on your vision? Wait a minute. I'm about to jump off the stage next. These are the women I'm looking for. But how many of you spent 15 minutes yesterday? What about Friday? I mean, what was yesterday? Friday. What about Thursday? Thursday? Can I get it? One. Maybe two. I see two. Maybe three. Three, four, four. Come on. What about Wednesday? Now, okay, let me go back to the original question because there must be some confusion in the room. How many women have a dream in this room? Oh, some of y'all got scared. Let me see your hand. Okay. But not many of you have spent 15 minutes a day on that dream. Now, one of the things, Pastor, because I need to listen more. Pastor Carissa, she just, you know, she's speaking my language. She says, Every day, I spent time on that dream. I spent time on my business. Okay? Are you feeling me yet? But let me tell you something, ladies. When you want to get to that dream or that destiny and want to begin to execute on your ideas, you've got to understand this, that take care of the minutes in your life. Take care of the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, and the years will take care of themselves. See, many of you are looking so far ahead. Well, next year, I'm going to do such and such. See, all you're doing is using time as an excuse not to do it when? Now. So now I want you to change your perspective and say 15 minutes a day. Because let me tell you what's happened to other members of Woman Act Now. They have started spending 15 minutes on their dream and their destiny. Now that 15 minutes turns to 30 minutes. Now it's an hour. Now it's a whole day. Why? Because they started to spend time on it, and now they're in business. that would turn her 15 minutes into 84 hours a year. Even if you moonlight, how many of you have spent that kind of time on your dreams? I'm telling you, it's time to wake up. Let's just make it simple so that you can do it. Can you be accountable to yourself for 15 minutes? No, you can't. You can't do it. That's why we got Woman Act now, so we can hold you accountable. Because, see, all you mavericks out there want to do your own thing. But let me tell you, you know, I've been working with a young lady who came out of the media industry, and she was a journalist for 30 years. I'm also a business coach. I do that just about every day of the week. I'm on the phone. I'm talking to people. I'm trying to push them forward. Always got them leaning into that dream or vision. This particular young lady, been in the business for 30 years, came out of a structure, a corporate structure. Some of those people might be you. You're in corporate America. You've learned. You've taught. You're ready to do your own thing, but you don't know how to do that. Why? Because you've been in a structure, and when you come out of that structure, you are all alone. And it's not that you're alone, but what's missing is accountability. And so when you join Woman Act Now, you can't get my plugs in. When you join, because this is real to me. I'm not just trying to build an organization. Guess what? I will build it with or without you. It's not mine to build. But I do know what God has given me to help you if you want to take advantage of that. But this particular woman, her struggle, she's out there on her own. Accountability. It has been amazing what has occurred in her life. She's only been in Woman Act Now maybe 3 months at most. And what has begun to occur in her life for one reason, accountability. I mean, we're going back and forth, and I'm saying, oh, no, I got to back up on that one. What are you doing here? Tell me more. I don't understand. So trust me, ladies, 15 minutes will turn to something if you got some accountability, but I can't trust you. All right? I mean, how many of y'all can do it for 15 minutes?
What is wrong with y'all?
Don't say nothing. Are you telling that to your neighbor? I go, you know she gonna get you. But I'm telling you, you can do it. The next thing I want to share with you is procrastination. Oh, everybody know about that, right? What is procrastination?
Oh, not yet. What is wrong with your people down here?
Yeah, okay, let's get this straight. You don't have to be scared, okay?
All right, it's okay. Talk to me. I'm one of them talk back kind of people.
So what is procrastination? Okay, everybody knew that. Putting off today what you could do tomorrow. Right? Putting off today what you can do today. Putting off. Not doing. What is the cure to procrastination? What is it? It's now. That's the only cure for procrastination. Is acting in your now. Is right now. So, ladies, when you start to say, well, you know how you say, I need to do this, and you say, I can do that later, right at that moment, I want you to stop and do it. See, execution doesn't happen by accident either. Execution is a habit that you develop in your life. See, because executors, and I'm going to share some things with you about what a doer does. I'm a doer, okay? And a person of execution develops the habit of execution. You consistently fight and you press through that voice that says, not now. Hello? Not now. So the only solution to it is what? Now. Do it now. Procrastination becomes the enemy of execution. So guess what? When you know you're putting it off, already know that you're being attacked in that area of execution. Many of us can be so much better if we were not such poor executors. You could have more in your life. You could do more. You could be maybe in a different place in your career, but you're just not a great executor. Okay? I've identified, you know, I go around the country and I'm talking to ladies just like you. Most of them look like you, but they don't dress as well as the people here in Baltimore. I noticed that last night. Boy, y'all was some dressing, sister. sisters and you're some dressing sisters right now. I said, women are so wonderful. When you look around the room, you know, I'm always so typical because I'm just such a tomboy. So I only dress when I need to. I only wear makeup when I need to. That means when I have to go out somewhere and get on stage. Never wear makeup during the day, at home or anything. I look like a crazy woman most of the time. But they tell me I dress up well. I clean up well. But when I come in groups like these and I look around and I'm just, you got to be watching everything. Fingernails and shoes and, you know, girls are girls. You hear what I'm saying? Look, I'm doing the best I can do. I know it might be okay, but I am doing the best that I can do. But when I start looking at, I don't want to get my nails done. Look, they got to drag me in there to get my eyebrows arched. And I get them threaded, and that hurts, too. But it seems like it's a little bit better than waxing. And Thomas says, come on, please, let me take you over there. You know you got to do your thing. Get your nails done. I said, I don't care. Look, I got my own clear fingernail polish. I put it on myself. I am just so not a girl in that sense, you know? But I always enjoy it when I see ladies who really, you just kind of like have a knack for it. I'd be struggling. I hate to shop. That ought to tell you something. Don't ask me to shop. I think it's just a waste of time. Mike, you know what I'm saying? That's because I'm such an executor. Shopping, are you crazy? Do you know I was at a photo shoot and one of my friends took me shopping. As soon as we walk in, I said, girl, I can't shop without, let me go get something to eat. Because I feel like I'm getting nauseous. I said, I'm feeling real sick right now. And the whole time, I was like Tommy. I was dead weight. She was dragging me around. I said, I am just not interested in this because I'm thinking about all those other things I could be executing on. So, but going back to execution, it's a mindset. Women who are executors, one of the things that they believe in, one of the things I firmly believe in, I think that makes the difference in my life, is I believe that there's a solution. Above anything else, doesn't matter what the problem is, what the concern is, what the project is, I'm never focusing on that. I always believe there is a solution. And see, when you believe that way, it is the solution that draws you through the gap, that pulls you through the process. Many of us are stopped and we're faced with the challenge of doing what we do. I teach women in Woman Act Now a principle called Woman Think. Okay? When I say Woman Think, the members know what I'm talking about. And what it means is that we're going to take 60 seconds to think about that dream or that vision, that idea. If you're faced with a challenge, there was a question that was asked last night, write your biggest challenge or your biggest hindrance on that page. Go back to it if you got it. Okay, most times we stop right there, but the process of getting through the gap and overcoming those hindrances or those frustrations in your life is to think, woman. It's to think. Let's look at those biggest hindrance, the biggest problem, whatever you think it is. I want you to write down 3 steps that you can execute on it to start moving that barrier. 3 steps. 1, 2, 3. Whatever it is, whatever your thing was, give me 3 things that you can do that starts to move that barrier out of the way. So when we talk about Woman Think, we talk about getting through the gap. Honey, we're pushing you with a bunch of questions. So you know what? It doesn't stop there. It doesn't just stop with that word you have on the paper. Now, how do we make it materialize? How do we get it out of our way? How do we make it come to reality? How do we solve the problem? See, the consummate executor is saying, wait a minute, what is this? What do we need to do? I'm the consummate executor. I was on my way here. My husband called and said, you need to go to Chicago after you leave here. Immediately, y'all know what I start thinking about. I don't know nobody in Chicago but one person. And I don't even know her. I just know her by reputation. And I start thinking, okay, I got to get me some Oprah tickets. And I start casting a vision, ladies. I said, now, friend, we can't be leaving no Chicago on Sunday. My friend is not even listening to me because he didn't made the tickets, had us coming back. On Sunday, I said, he's not even hearing me. I said, listen, we need to stay there through Monday because I need to go by Harpo wanted a sign. I want to go to the store. You know, I got all this. And he's just looking at me. You know, it must be a girl thing. I said, but you don't understand. See, I need to get up there, and I'm going to get me some tickets to Oprah. He says, well, how are you going to get some tickets to Oprah? So my friend gets going. He started asking all his people, trying to find me some tickets. And Shauna, I got a note on her desk since last year. Call Oprah today. Call every day. Now, she don't call her every day, but every now and then she looks at that little twerk. You know how paper starts to roll this way when it's been up on the sign a long time? Well, every now and then she might get a glimpse to call Oprah. So on Friday morning, she called Oprah, Oprah Winfrey. So, and the lady told her, ma'am, the line is closed. You'll need to call back in October. Well, Friday night. No, Thursday night. I get my days mixed up. You know, I don't be paying attention to that. But Thursday night, the Holy Spirit told me, go to Oprah.com. I know it was all, because I could feel this. I could feel the power in the room. So I go to Oprah.com. Remember, what did I say? When is now? 0 to 2 to 5 seconds. But remember, now is a conscious thought. It's a stream of consciousness. God is a God of now. He'll speak to you when? Now. We have to learn how to begin to act when? Now. So I went now to my computer, plugged it up, but I could just feel this sense of urgency. So I go there, and I'm looking down, and for some reason I felt this sense of searching. Just look around or something. Just, and you should have seen me, and I was really just in search, you know, or something. Show me the deep things, LaGuard. Where that link is? I was searching, honey, for the unseen thing. So I looked, and I didn't know what I was searching for, but all these thoughts were kind of hitting through my mind, you know? And then all of a sudden, I saw it! And I looked again. I said, I do see it! I clicked on that link. The link says, tickets available September the 8th. Because, you know, they got that on offer, but they've been having that on for years. I thought they was lying, that they have last-minute tickets. I can't never get through. I don't know how come you got some last-minute tickets. So well, I saw that, boy. I clicked on that link, and I shared my story. They said, share your story. I said, hey, my name is Adam McCoy. Listen, I've been looking at Oprah for 20 years since I was in college and everything. And it's time for me to come to the show. Okay? Look, I got the note on my sister's desk. Call Oprah today. And if you got some tickets, I need to be up in there. And do you know, I said, now, since you're going to give away four, let me give you four names. But listen, if you only got one, we can eliminate the other three. Because I need to be at the Oprah Show on September the 8th. Well, I got to Baltimore. I got a phone call. I was on a radio interview, and I saw this number keep popping up on my cell phone, just blowing up. I said, I don't even know that number. But it looked like it was a business, you know, one of them 9,000 four-digit last numbers. But I didn't recognize the area code, 312. So I told the lady when we finished our interview, I said, I need to check my voicemail. Somebody just blowing up my phone. So, honey, I call, and you know how you do. You see the callback number, you call. You don't check the voicemail. You call first. You want to see who's calling you. See if it's necessary. So I call, and they said, the Oprah with me, girl. Oh, my God! I said, you got my tickets? She said, ma'am, who are you calling for? You know, just all calm. I said, you don't understand. The Oprah with me, girl, called me. She said, well, ma'am, I can't help you unless I know who called you. I said, I'll call you back. I got on that voicemail, found out that person's name. I called her back. Her voicemail came on. I said, I don't care if this voicemail, but let me make my message clear. This is Anna McCoy. I am confirming my tickets for September the 8th. I know I need to talk to you, but I don't want you to get confused. Call me back, because I'm sitting up here looking at the phone, waiting for your call. 3 minutes later, the young lady called. She said, hello, and she was, obviously, you know, I was pretty animated. And she said, yeah, well, I know who you are, girl. You got my ticket? buy tickets to Chicago.
But what am I?
Solution-oriented. Do you know, in China, sitting up there, my husband, I'm trying to figure out if he'll meet me in there. And then I say, you know what? I don't need him to meet China. Me and you going to the Oprah Winfrey Show. Do you know
we rented us a car?
Because we getting there storm on the night. Listen, we didn't went to the train, to the rental car, and we got a ticket. Because on Monday at 1:30, I'm going to be in front of Harpo Studios. And don't matter how I get there. I start singing that song, you can meet me by trailway. You can meet me on a whatever day.
But do you hear me, ladies?
And it's all because it's this. And Thomas said, well, you need to talk to me. I said, listen, he know I am going to Chicago.
We don't need to be in no agreement. He knows where I'm going.
He just might as well get on the train, too. Because he knows I am not coming back to Texas, whether he agrees or he doesn't. I said, now, you better call your husband to work out your situation. So, ladies, we are on our way to Chicago. Do you hear me? I wish I'd have kept some two tickets, because I bet y'all would have had some now women in here. I'm a girl. I'm going to Chicago, too, huh? You be like, don't worry about it. Just give my name. I'll be there, too.
We all be on a bus. Oh, wait, the mom coach.
But that's what execution is all about. In every situation in my life, I'm leaning into that thing. I'm not looking for a no. I'm looking at how are we going to get this done. You know, and if I'm going to dream something, if you hear me say it, you can believe it. You can believe it's going to happen, because I ain't going to say, I'm not going to say something I'm unwilling to do and make a commitment to. I've at least learned that, and that's a lesson you should learn. Don't speak things that you know you're not going to do. Now, lady, if you are one of those women and you do like to talk and share your ideas and dreams and all those things, but you really don't do them, just learn how to just, when you hear it come, just keep it in there until you're really ready to act. Because every time you do that, you reinforce that behavior rather than the behavior that is going to get you through the gap. So that becomes okay for you to just say what you say, and it's okay. And I'm saying, no, we're going to be accountable to what we say. Let me identify four different types of women I've met across the country. I've been doing this for a very long time, ladies. I want you to identify, just listen for a moment, which one of these women do you identify with? I've identified there are four different types of executors. One is the wisher. Okay? Let me just digress for a moment. In order to execute, it comprises two things. The first one, you must be strong in innovation. Innovation are, you know, what it consists of is your ideas, your creativity, your thoughts. But innovation is really about bringing change. It's really about bringing an idea that can impact the world or people around you. So let me make the world relative to you. Your world is not the world. Okay? So you bring it down to where you are. It is your sphere of influence. It is your relationship, your extended families, your corporate culture. That's your world. Now, trust me, your world can enlarge. My world has enlarged by coming here to be with you. Do you understand? And so your world can enlarge, but most of us get stuck with this big idea of the globe. And that's not your world. It is, we're part of that world, but if you start to think about, let me be effective in my world. Who's in my world? Who's in my circle of influence? Who do I know? What can I do that can really impact my world? So when we think about innovation, let me help you understand that. To be effective really at achieving your goals, You have to be effective at both innovation and execution. These are the two things. And I'm going to identify, when I identify these four people, you're going to see that some of them are strong in execution, are strong in innovation, are weak in execution, and weak in innovation. Now, when you think of a company like Google, most of us have heard of Google, maybe Microsoft, maybe Dell. All of those companies are innovative companies. Why are they innovative? They're innovative because they came up with ideas that change the world. Guess what? Change their world. Change where their application can be applied. Not the entire world, because what are they doing for third world countries who don't have computers? Do you see how relative it is to your world? Okay? So when we talk about execution, execution is your ability to execute on your ideas and moving them from an idea stage to concrete reality, material things, things you can see, whether it's a service, whether it's a product. You're moving that idea, that thing like, I think I see this, I think I have this idea of this. You move it from an idea stage to material reality. So you understand that, lady? Innovation and execution. These four types of ladies. The wisher, she has no forward movement. You know, in order to achieve that dream or vision, you need to be moving what? Forward. You need to be in motion. What is your faith is what? Faith is what? Now, faith is now, and faith is your belief in what? Motion. Faith is what? Your belief, well, let's go back. Faith, now faith, now faith, now faith. But every now we create a what? New now. Every 0 to 2 to 5 seconds. And guess what? Faith is a belief in something that does not exist. So therefore, your faith is what? Your belief in motion. Your what? Belief in what? Motion. So if you're saying I'm believing for something, but yet there is no movement, are you in faith? Okay? So the wisher has no forward movement. She's a woman that sits there and she wishes for things without putting forth the effort. That means I wish I could have what you wear. And you know you got some women that, ooh, I really like that jacket. I wish I could have one like that. And they're hoping that you'll be compassionate enough to give them yours. Now, you don't understand. I work for this jacket. Do you know I ain't had to go shopping for this jacket? Do you know how much pain and suffering that was for me? I work for this jacket. So we call this wisher a person who is weak in innovation. She does not even believe in her own ideas. She's afraid to take a risk to think. So she becomes a wisher, and she just kind of sits back, and I wish, I wish, I wish. She's kind of like a ceiling on the color purple. Just kind of, you know, do what she does. You remember the scene of Ceely sitting in the, I know y'all seen the color purple because I've seen it 20 times. 20 times. And I know every line in the color purple. She better not call my name because I'm old. No. You know, still, you know, anyhow. I got to stay focused because I got just a few more minutes. Weak in execution. But anyway, that woman is similar to Ceely. You remember that scene where Ceely is sitting in the club and she's watching Suge Avery. And you can see that wishing going on inside of her. You know, I wish I could be like her. I wish I could do like that. I wish I could be as confident. That's what the wisher looks like. She's weak in execution. She don't know how to carry anything out. She's just going to do, kind of just move along in life. Nothing really matters. Not that she doesn't want it to matter, but this is where she lives. This is her comfort zone. She's a complainer. She's a whiner, a taker, and a bottom feeder. Now, I know that's some tough words. And it's not women in this room. It's in other states. I'll get to them later. She hopes that things will work out in her favor without the effort. The execution is about you taking the steps, thinking about the things that you need to do, and taking an action. The next one is the wanderer. Big dreamer. Big dreamer. Ooh, she wandered all over the place. She's a small finisher, though. She's got many dreams. She can do a lot of different things. She's really excited. excited. She's strong in innovation. She's the idea person, but she can't carry it out. Many of us, and let me tell you, in seasons of our lives, we fit each one of these types. Okay? So you're not just one. We have a little bit of the characteristics of each one. This woman is full of energy, full of ideas. You know, what you want me to do? How to do it? Ineffective, but she's very ineffective, and she takes too many tasks. She cannot what? Focus. Zombie. That's the third woman. She's a dead woman walking. This woman, she's weak in innovation. You know why? She truly just, you know, her ideas don't matter. And in fact, she's very strong in execution. She'll do anything that you ask her to do. She'll play along. She'll stay within the systems. In fact, if you mess up her system, you've really been messed up. That's her comfort zone. But yet, deep down on the inside, she's really tired of being a zombie. She knows she's got some dreams and visions on the inside of her, but something around her, something going on in her life cannot let her wake up. So she'll get things done for you. She'll be a silent member, very, very silent. You hardly even notice her on your team. Pastor Clarissa was a dead woman walking. She said, you didn't even have, I wasn't going to say nothing. I'm here, I'm looking, I'm being, but you know what? She was so full of dreams and visions because deep down on the inside, this is where we belong, ladies. From the moment you were born, God created you to be a producer. Now, you have chosen, along with those decisions and choices you made along that path of your destiny, those detrimental decisions to your destiny, you have chosen to choose to walk in one of these paths. But let me tell you, God wants you to become this woman. She is the woman that gets life done. She is a woman that understands her goals and her objectives are important. Not that you forget about everybody else, but she remembers about her. She remembers that this is important to me. She tells that employer, listen, you're paying me for 40 hours, and guess what? It's 40 hours and 30 seconds, and I got to go. I've already given you too much. See, some of you just stay on your job, you know, another hour. You just linger on. The reason why you're doing that because you're not committed. You're making a decision that's detrimental to your destiny. So if they're going to pay you for 40, give them 40. Okay? And get out of there and start planning your life and the opportunities that God has for you. But guess what? I can tell you, if I looked at your calendar, you had a calendar today.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
All right, we want to thank you for joining us today on The Real McCoy Show on Blog Talk Radio. We encourage you to visit our website, www.womanactnow.com. We look forward to seeing you back here real soon, next Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on Woman Act Now Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great day and make it a great week. And Woman, act now.